Hello, Davis. How are you doing out there? This is Lois Richter, the program's That's Life. You're listening to KDRT-LP here in Davis, California, 95.7 on the radio dial, or KDRT.org on the computer dial. I hope you're enjoying today, and I hope you'll enjoy the music I've got for you. I've got a couple of things going on. First, I'm going to play a little bit of music by Duval Speck. Now, this is a duo. Linda Duval and Kathy Speck do the vocals. And they have backup folks doing the music behind it. So this is a CD called Thanks for Waiting. And we're going to start off with the very, very first cut called Hey You. You ready for that? Hey You. Here we go.
Now I'll see you next time. Hey you, hey you, hey you, hey you, hey you, I saw you today, chatting away on the freeway.
That's Duval Speck, and that's from their CD, Thanks for Waiting. This was produced by Linda Duval, the name that they have given to their production company is called Surrey Moon Music. And if you would like to see lyrics, to get more information about it, whatever, you can go to DuvalSpeck.com. That's DuvalSpeck, Duval Speck. Okay, so the next one, let's see, I want to do that one. She's the One. That's what I want to play. She's the One. Here we go. She's the one. Duval Speck. I'm playing local music today, and I wanted to share a few of these folks with you in hopes that you will check out what's going to be happening in June. That's the Friday 17th through Sunday the 19th. Davis Music Fest 6 is going to be happening. And there is a list. There's a poster in our hallway here at the station, and it lists all the folks who are going to be playing, and there's a lot of them. If you go to their website, you can find out who's playing when, where. There's lots of different venues around town, lots of different times and schedules and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to be pretty amazing. I didn't recognize a lot of the bands that are here because they always have a lot of new local bands that come out. So I'm playing you some music that may not necessarily be there, but it's the kind of thing that we have here in town. So that was Duval Speck, which is one of our, I'd say long time, well-known in some circles, but lesser well-known in the wider circles. And Rita Huskins is another local person. Now that name is very familiar and is very widely known. So I'm going to play you a song from Rita Huskins also. And then at quarter past, this is June 2nd, 2016, and at 1:15, I'm going to have Mark Blake, who owns Blake's Heating and Air Conditioning, and he's going to talk to me on the phone. I'm going to ask him some questions about how to handle this heat wave that we're in. You know, when it gets to be over 100, what do you do? Okay, so first up, here goes. Kitchen Table and Chairs by Rita Huskins.
times to make it work. 50,000 acres and still going strong. This firestorm's moving fast. Honey, what you gonna take along? I can't take the house itself. I cannot take the barn. Let's load up the kitchen table. Can't take it all, I'll take part. It's where they gathered at the end of day. It's where they were when Grandpa passed away. It's a chair that was broken in a terrible fight, gently repaired by the same hands that next time. Anything they could find. Frightened creatures zig and zag, ashes in the sky, and a old stand of cedars waving branches goodbye. You go on ahead, I will catch up soon. She knew he'd stay but drove away. There was nothing she could do. It's where they gathered at the end of the day. It's where they were when Grandpa passed away. It's a chair that was broken in a terrible fight, gently repaired by the same hands that next night.
Was Rita Hoskins. Well, now we have a real treat. You know, sometimes I get Mike Pezzola from Bedrock Construction to come on the air and talk to us and tell us about things having to do with construction in your home and all that other sort of stuff. And when I talked to Mike, I said, well, why don't I do something about air conditioning? And he said, well, that's a good idea. So here I am, and I have on the line with me Mark Blake, who is the owner of Blake's Heating and Air Conditioning. Hello, Mark. Can you hear me?
Hello. How are you?
I am well. And so we're calling you on a day that it's going to be 100 degrees out. And that was the impetus for my doing it. It's because every week on the garden show, we do the weather. And I'm going, it's going to be over 100 for 3 days. Oh, my gosh. So I thought I would call you and ask you a few questions about air conditioning in general and about our weather right now in specific. So thank you for talking to me.
No problem.
And so I want to first ask the big question, which is, it's 105 one day. How low should I be setting my thermostat and why?
Setting your thermostat, some people think setting it lower is going to give you colder air. It's not. And the average temperature in Yellow County is 78, is what most people do.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be able to achieve that low. You might do not. When you set it at 78 and it's 105, you may not. The older houses, probably not. We're trying to keep the house about 22, 23, maybe 24 degrees cooler than outside. So when you set that, and we have people that call and try to lower it, I have it at 62. No. That just means an on-off button. And if you could try to keep your house 22, 24 degrees cooler than outside, you're doing pretty good.
So if it's 90 outside, then I could come down to 70, no problem.
Sure.
But if it's 100 outside, I better stop at 78 or 80.
Yeah, you can leave it at 78, and later afternoon, the AC may struggle a little bit to get to 78. And some homes and some people change their windows, and some people can achieve that. They're really designed to keep it 22, 24 degrees cooler, and that's all. And the reasoning is on that is there's only 11 to 17 days over 102 degrees. So they want your efficiency and your bills to be low between 80 degrees and 98 degrees.
Okay.
And so why won't you just put a bigger one in? Well, all the rest of the year you're going to be paying more for a bigger machine to be run.
Okay. See? So I'm the takeaway I've got is when I set my thermostat, I don't want to make it more than 22 or 23 degrees below what it is outside. Now, here's my question to you. If I were to try and force it to get really low, how much damage am I doing to the machinery?
I don't think you're going to do any damage. And I think that you could set it at 78 if that's what you're comfortable, and some people are going to say 76. I just don't think you should call in for a repair if it doesn't get there.
Okay.
If it gets down to 80, we have a lot of people call and want to spend money, and we say, no, it's 106 out. Your house is 80. It's working. Yes, I still think you're okay by setting it. It's going to run, but it may run very long, you know, to try to achieve it, and it might not achieve it until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. But
okay.
A lot of people will go, uh-oh, it's 80, and I said it's 78. Well, yeah, it's 105 out. It's probably not going to do it.
Okay, so it's not that I'm hurting the machinery. It's
no.
Just that the machinery can't do what I'm asking it to do.
It.
Okay. All right,
yeah.
Well, that's good news. That's good news.
When you know that tomorrow's supposed to be 104, let's go ahead and close up the house, and let's put the thermostat on 78, and let it start a little early. It will be much easier. All air conditioning is done for 65 years. It goes in your return where your filter is, goes through the machine, and comes out 16 to 20 degrees colder. So the nicer the house is on the inside, the easier it's going to be to cool down. If you get home and it's 95, sure, it's going to take a long time. All it does, when it goes through your unit, comes back out. It comes back out 16 to 20 degrees cooler. So if you start it, like Peach and E writes down, that leave it at 83 even when you're not home. Let the house keep coming on a couple times at the 83. So when you do get home and you move it down to 78, then it won't be so hard on trying to knock that down. 20
okay.
degrees. Right.
Okay, so we're in Davis, and we are lucky enough to have a Delta breeze most nights, not all nights. But if we do, when I was an impoverished student and I was trying to be really chintzy, we would simply open all the windows on all the house in the evening and let that 60-degree air flow through the house and cool the house down. And then in the morning, we'd close it up and hope that coolness would last a while. Now, when you're using an air conditioning unit, see, we weren't even using an air conditioner.
Right.
But if you're using an air conditioning unit, doesn't it all still make sense to open up in the evening and let that 60-degree air cool you out?
You were perfect how you just said that. Yes, I actually have a whole house fan, and the minute it drops outside to about 64 or 65, I open up, I suck everything in, and then turn that off by 8 o'clock when it starts getting a little warmer, over up to 70. I close everything up and put the curtains down. Exactly what you were doing when you were trying to survive without air conditioning is perfect, because now the air conditioner doesn't have such a load on it when it's time to come. So if you could open those, people, some of us get up at 5 o'clock, we open up, get all the air, cold air. And this morning it was 57 degrees, perfect morning after that hot week. If everybody had opened up and got that 57-degree air in, it would help the air conditioner so much. And then obviously close the curtains and the shades and whatnot, so that sun coming through the window is more than what you think,
right?
Heating that house up. So yeah, how you did it is absolutely perfect.
Okay, great. And we will not talk about, with this interview with you, about whole house fans, but I'm going to get Mike Pozzola to talk about that with us on a future show. So if people don't yet have one, they can know what it is and how to use it. But let's get back to the air conditioning unit now. So I've been nice to it. I haven't asked it to do too much work. It's functioning well. It can't quite go from 105 to 80, but I understand that now. So what do I want to do to my air conditioner or for it to make it be the most long-lived and efficient and all that good stuff? There's got to be something I should be doing to maintain it.
Yes, there's a few things.
filter.
If that air is going around in a circle in your house, through the unit, back in your house, and it's making that circle, when you restrict that circle, that causes all sorts of problems. And we always have customers say, well, I change it twice a year. Okay, that's not good. February, March, and April, you look at it and you go, oh, it's not even that bad. You use more in the next 2 weeks, June 1st to June 15th, 16th, you're going to put more hours on it. So here's my tip. I've been saying this for 34 years. When you pay the PG&E bill, when you sit down at night, every month you're going to pay a PG&E bill. They're always going to send you a bill. Go check the filter. People think that so they checked it, and they might have checked it in October or November. Oh, I don't need to check it, but once every 6 months. But you have to do June, July, and August. You're going to change it each month. There's 600 hours. Yes, and no one, they all. So I always say that. That they go, no, I'm every 6 months. We get
so
there,
It's three times a year, but it's those summer months because that's when it's working.
You may go through four filters a year depending on how hot June, July, and August is. You have 600 hours you're going to put on it in June at least. That's what the average person is going to run. I know it doesn't sound like that, but add 3 or 4 or 5 hours a day that it runs. There's 600 hours. You didn't use it 600 hours the whole month of March, April. So, yeah, okay. June, July, and August. It takes 5 minutes when you pay the PG&E bill to peek at it, and that is going to help you more than what you can believe. That's going to help you, number one, on your bill cost. It's not trying to suck air through this dirty filter that is trying so hard. I mean, there's tons of things. It ices up. It causes problems. Second thing, that would be my number one thing. Pay the PG&E bill, peek at the filter. Number two would be a lot of times people let things grow over the air conditioner. It's really supposed to be able to blow 48 inches up, straight up in the air. And you really, and I know they might not be beautiful and people want to plant shrubs tight to them. It's the same thing as the radiator on your car. If I put a paper towel over the radiator on your car, you would look down and your car would be running hot. That's all that is out there. It's the same thing. Okay. It has a fan and a radiator. The more you let that breathe, the cheaper your bills and the cooler that unit will run. So I know I show up to a lot of houses with redwood boxes built around them and shrubs they planted so they don't have to look at the AC. But really, if you gave it 30 to 36 inches all the way around and 48 above it, you're running so much cooler.
Okay,
same as the radiator on your car. No one would ever plant something or put something on your car radiator. Right.
So we've got two tips so far. One is change your filter, and I'm going to try and say every 500 hours, though we don't know how many hours it's going to run, but that would be my guess. And then for your outside air conditioner unit, and as I understand, there's two, isn't there? There's one outside and there's one blower inside?
You're exactly right. Yeah, so you have the blower, so you know that your furnace works year-round.
Uh-huh.
It's what blows the air out the register. So it comes on and blows hot air in the winter, and then it has to work all summer also. So it comes on, and there's an evap coil in the attic or in the furnace closet that gets cold, and then it blows across the cold. So the furnace runs all year long. It just doesn't turn on the heat. It goes right by the heater and blows the cold, the evap coil. So, yes, you have an indoor unit and an outdoor unit, and it can get more difficult. Some people have a roof mount unit that's all in one package called a package unit.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, that runs. And I would say instead of setting, I would say always pay attention. These are for Davis folks. Always pay attention June, July, August, and September. You're not going to – October, November is not that bad, but when you get into the cold months. So the months that you're walking to the thermostat, just check the filter when you pay the PG&E bill.
That's a good plan. All right. Well, thank you so very much. Is there anything else that you want to talk to us about, or is that about it?
I'm good if you're good. If anybody needs anything, call. I'm here to talk to people in the afternoon. So if they have advice, instead of spending money, give me a jingle. If you're questioning something, give me a jingle, and I'll talk you through it.
Okay. And the reason we did this show is to try and have fewer people. Okay. Just a minute. We wanted to have fewer people call you because now they know that the fact that it's 80 degrees in their house is not a problem with their air conditioner. It's the fact it's 105 outside.
That's great.
So what's your last tip?
Okay, my last tip is if you think something's not working right, when the air goes in, that's where the filter we talked about, the air going in, and I told you earlier in the conversation that it goes in that grill, goes through the unit, and comes out the air in the little registers in the bedroom.
Right.
If you're doubting something, you're going, I just don't know, that air going in, you put your temperature, take your temperature right there. It's going to be pretty close to what it says on your thermostat, mm-hmm. and then go right to the register that's in the bedroom and get your temperature there. It should be between 16 and 20 degrees. Then you go,
lower.
Oh, it is working good. No, yeah. So it's going in, at, you're in the house and it's going in at 80. It's going to be coming out 60 to 64 degrees. That's uh-huh. how air conditioning was designed for the last 60 years. So that always seemed to help people. They would go, I don't sure if it's working. I'd say, call me back. Take the temperature going in, mm-hmm. the return, where the filter is, and go take it coming out. And they'd come back and they'd say, yeah, it's going in at 80 and it's coming out at 62. And I'd say, you don't need me.
Yeah,
you don't need me. It's working.
It's working.
And then I give them a reminder to change the filter. Correct.
Okay.
So hopefully, yes.
And I do have one last question, if you have
okay.
time.
Okay.
So if I have an air conditioning situation and I really want to be cool in one particular room, should I shut off all of the vents in the other rooms and just run it into one room? Is that good? Is that bad? Is that a problem?
This is a sticky situation for what I say. Okay, so yes, you can. If you have 11, 12, 13 registers, yes. I said this a long time ago in the 80s, and I've got, if you only have 4 to 5 registers, the answer is no. But if you have, let's say, over 9, from 9 in the minimum, what it is, remember the circle we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
the filter being dirty? Well, if we close 2 of the other ones, it's like having a dirty filter.
Because you're getting 20%
yeah.
less air.
Yeah, because the air's being restricted going through, just like a dirty filter. So, yes, on a certain situation, if, Mark, I have 11 registers, can I shut the bathroom in my spare bedroom we don't use? I always say, oh, yeah, not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go over to houses, maybe on pole line or whatnot. I have 6 registers. Mark, can I close 2? No, you really can't. Damper down a little bit, but then again, you could do your temperature thing. You close 3 registers, now you have a 25-degree split. No, you know you did something wrong. It's going through too slow. It's getting too cold. So that's kind of a touchy situation. If you're in the houses that have 4, 5, and 6, I probably wouldn't touch any of them. You're in a house that has 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, go ahead. You're 2 or 3 are going to, there's not going to, and you could always not close them all the way off. But I actually do. We have a spare bedroom. Now I closed 1. I have 12 registers and I closed 1.
We're talking about less than 10%.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
See,
right.
I like numbers because that makes it easy for me to figure out in multiple situations. So
perfect.
I'm going with less than 10%.
Perfect.
All right. All right.
All righty.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Not a problem. Take care.
Have a lovely day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. So there we go. I hope that helped y'all. I certainly learned a bunch of stuff from it. And, there we go. Something had bumped my slider here, and so I couldn't hear what I was saying. No, I was worried that you couldn't hear me, but of course you can. Okay. Oh, 105 degrees? No. Well, they keep changing it, so I have gone to lots of different weather sites, and the one that I prefer to go to is called NOAA, N-O-A-A. That's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency, and that's the official U.S. government website. And they seem to be the most reliable as far as getting the getting accuracy in their forecasts or in their predictions. So when I looked at it a couple of days ago, it was looking like it was going to be 103, 105, 101, 4 days in a row over 100. But then today, when we were doing the garden show, and Don, of course, always does the weather at the beginning of the show, and it was 99. So we're not as hot as I thought we were going to be, but it's still hot out there. And, you know, that's okay. Okay, so I am going to play for you some more music, and let's see what I'll pick up next. So this one is Misner and Smith, and this is a duo, a local Davis duo. I had them on my show once; it was wonderful to talk to them. This is a new CD of theirs called 7 Hour Storm. All right, so look at that in there. And I think we'll just play the title song, the title cut of it, 7 Hour Storm by Misner and Smith. Okay. Get that, and push that button right there. That's not working. I'll try that again. What's happening to my CD? Oh, there we go. Okay, good.
I was made this way. In a 7-hour storm, it blew and then was gone. I was born on a gust of wind. My first steps all were stumbles, and they haven't really changed at all since then. Nothing new today. I slip back to a time of easy memories, but they aren't mine. I'm surrounded now, reminded of a letter that I'd written to myself when I was 10. The lines with these words that lie and stare at me tonight. Whose hand held the pen that scratched the lines with these words that lie and stare at me tonight? I'm lost again. I've curved my share of corners, and I'm back to where this winding trail began. So I'll push ahead and chase that flickering lantern that circles round my island now. I was made this way. In a 7-hour storm, it blew and then was gone, and I was born on a gust of wind. My first steps all were stumbles, and they haven't really changed at all since then.
Haven't really changed at all since then.
Misner and Smith, local folks who have been on the station, been in concerts for us, well liked here and well played here. So hope you listen in if you want to hear more of their music. I'm sure somebody will be playing it any week. All right. We are going to now do a little bit of our, well, our official stuff. We talked to you about what's happening and what shows we have and the fact that this is at the time of year when we do our fundraising and all those things. So I'm going to read you a couple of announcements. The first one is about my good friend Don Shore. He and I co-host the Davis Garden Show, which happens just before this show on Thursdays at noon. But he also has started, some years ago, started doing his own separate show because he really likes jazz. So here we go. Jazz After Dark is the name of his show. Join jazz aficionado Don Shore as he explores 20th century jazz across the decades, from boogie-woogie to blues, ragtime to bebop, Brazilian to swing, and more. Tune in for Jazz After Dark live every Tuesday evening, 8 to 9 p.m. on KDRT-LP. For replay times, visit kdrt.org and click the Schedule tab. And, if it's Tuesday night and you didn't hear it, well, that's okay. You can also listen to archived shows. They're archived for a couple of weeks if they're music shows. And you can go to kdrt.org and look for Don Shore, and you'll be able to find all of the archives. You'll also be able to find all of the Garden Show archives if you're interested in that sort of thing, too. Okay, this is the next promo to read. The grassroots grow where community support keeps them well watered. Support Catered and Homegrown Radio with your tax-deductible donation to Davis Media Access during our annual fund drive. Your support keeps our hyper-local programming flowing. Donate online at kdrt.org/support or mail your contributions to Davis Media Access, 1623 5th Street, Suite A, Davis, California, 95616. Thank you for your support of Grassroots Radio. All right. And if you have a topic that you would like to discuss, or a kind of music that you just love and you're not hearing enough of, you can make a proposal to become a programmer or a DJ. Depending upon what you want to call yourself, we call ourselves different things, different ones of us. But you can have a show here if you come in, make an application. It's something different than we already have. And you go through training and you learn how to do all this stuff. And, you know, it's not a simple thing. You don't just walk in and put a record on. It takes a little bit of work to get up to doing a show, but it's not impossible. It is definitely possible. My friend started this Hawaiian music show, yeah? And I started this show. I didn't know anything about radio. Of course, I have done television for a number of years. In fact, that's how Don and I got together doing what we called Gardening West of the Causeway, which was, every few months or so, he would come on the show and bring a bunch of plants and we'd talk about stuff. But that sort of morphed into the radio show when the radio station here got started, which was, over 10 years ago? My goodness. Okay, so let's play something here. What am I going to play now? I am going to play, let's do another Rita Hoskins. This will be Calling. We're going to do another Misner and Smith. And this is Calling off of their album 7-Hour Storm. So here we go.
Something out there holds you to dare, and it's calling. corner. Play safe in a cave and call yourself brave, but you're stalling. Is it all a show?
Mr. and Smith, Calling, off their CD 7-Hour Storm. Okay, so I've been playing some local music a little bit. I'm going to play some local to Hawaii music, just because I happen to like it, and it's one of my favorite guitarists, Jeff Peterson. But before I do that, I want to read you a portion, the opening few paragraphs of a book. Now, the book is by Bill Crider, that's C-R-I-D-E-R, and the title of it is Murder Among the Owls. This is a mystery book. Sheriff Dan Rhodes is the main character, and this is a series that has been going on for a while. But I opened this, and I started reading this, and pretty soon I was reading out aloud to my husband, and we were both just cracking up. So I thought, you might enjoy this too. So here we go. This is chapter one. When Sheriff Dan Rhodes opened the screen door to his back porch, the cat was there. It was an inky black, and it stared up at Rhodes with greenish-yellow eyes, like a fugitive from a Halloween cartoon. It was an ordinary cat, he supposed, the kind the local vet would label a DHC for domestic house cat. After giving Rhodes the once-over, it walked past him into his kitchen, pausing just long enough to arch its back and rub against Rhodes's legs, leaving behind some black hairs on his cocky pants. Rhodes sneezed and looked around at the cat as it sniffed around the kitchen. The cat ignored Rhodes. Rhodes turned back and looked out into the yard at Speedo, the border collie who inhabited it. Speedo wagged his tail. He didn't seem to mind that he'd allowed a strange cat to walk right past him. Rhodes thought that if dogs could shrug and talk, Speedo would have shrugged and said, well, hey, don't blame me for letting him in. He's a cat. Cats are sneaky. Rhodes closed the door and went into the kitchen, where the cat was sniffing around the legs of the table. It appeared to be perfectly at ease. Rhodes saw that it was wearing a collar, a red one, and that a silver aluminum tag was hanging from it. He was about to have a look at the tag when Yancey bounded into the room. Now, Yancey is a Pomeranian, and Yancey spent most of his time in the house, where he did a lot of bouncing. He looked at Rhodes like a gigantic, hyperactive dust bunny with eyes and legs. Yancey froze when he saw the cat. Rhodes began to count silently. He had never seen Yancey stand still for more than 5 seconds. The cat either didn't notice Yancey or didn't care about him if it did. It walked around under the table and then strolled over the refrigerator, where warm air was being forced out from beneath it by the exhaust fan. The cat sniffed at the air. Rhodes had reached the count of 7 Mississippi, a new record, before Yancey went ballistic. The little dog bounced up and down in place, yipping, and it came to bounding, bouncing, and yipping. Yancey was a champion. The cat was unperturbed, and Rhodes wondered if it might be deaf. It walked away from the refrigerator and over to where Yancey's food bowl sat. Yancey stopped yipping and gave Rhodes an aggrieved look. Rhodes didn't say anything. He was curious to see what would happen. The cat didn't seem interested in Yancey's food, which was just as well. Rhodes remembered having heard somewhere that cat food wasn't good for dog food wasn't good for cats. Turning away from the food, the cat leveled its gaze at Yancey and walked over to investigate him. Rhodes wished he'd been counting, because Yancey was still silent and immobile. He seemed paralyzed with either fear or indecision. The cat walked right up to him and sniffed his nose. Yancey hopped backwards down the hall and went into a paroxysm of yipping. The cat followed along, taking its time. If it had a white stripe down its back, Rhodes thought, it would have been a dead ringer for Pepe Le Pew. Yancey stopped yipping long enough to give a low, half-hearted growl as the cat neared him. Rhodes had never heard Yancey growl before, and it was such an ineffective sound that Rhodes thought the cat might burst out laughing. Far from being intimidated, the cat reached out with one paw and gave Yancey a gentle swat on the nose. The cat's claws had been sheathed, but it didn't matter as far as the effect on Yancey went. The little dog's eyes bugged out, and he began trembling all over, now resembling a dust bunny with legs, eyes, and a vibrator inside. The cat stood where it was, giving Yancey a cool stare, as if daring him to strike back. Yancey clearly had no intention of trying any such thing. He turned and fled from the hall, yipping all the way. The cat watched until Yancey disappeared, then returned to exploration of the kitchen, sniffing along the baseboards of the cabinet. "What on earth is going on here?" Ivy asked Rhodes as she came into the kitchen. She gave Rhodes an accusatory look. "Have you been mean to Yancey?" Rhodes told her, "I'm completely innocent." "Well, that's what they all say when you arrest them. Didn't you tell me that?" "Well, I may have, but it's an exaggeration. Some of them didn't say anything at all." Where did Yancey go?" "He's hiding under the bed." Ivy looked around and saw the cat. "Who's that?" Rhodes said, "We haven't been introduced." "Well, how did he cut in here?" It came through the door. Ivy put her hands on her hips. "You let a cat into the house?" Ivy was shorter than Rhodes and didn't weigh nearly as much, but she could be imposing if she wanted to. "It came in when I opened the door," he said. "It was all Speedo's fault. He's supposed to be the watchdog." "They all say they're innocent, and then they all blame it on somebody else. Isn't that what you told me?" "I don't remember telling you that last part." "Oh, well, you did." Rhodes wasn't convinced, but Ivy didn't seem to mind. She walked over to the stove where the cat was pawing at a crumb that somehow had eluded the broom. "Hey, cat," Ivy said. The cat ignored her and continued to paw at the crumb. Rhodes grinned. He didn't know much about cats, but he knew they were good at ignoring people. Ivy stood patiently until the cat knocked the crumb under the stove. The cat tried to reach under the stove and retrieve its prey, but its paw wasn't quite fit. Rhodes said, "That's the last you'll ever see of that crumb." He told it to the cat, which naturally ignored him. But Ivy didn't. "Are you implying something about my household cleaning techniques?" Rhodes said, "I'm completely innocent," holding up both hands, palms out. "Don't start that innocent business again. You know better than that. What are we going to do about the cat?" Before Rhodes could answer, the cat turned from the stove and started arching its back against the leg of Ivy's slacks. It purred so loudly that Road could hear it from where he stood all the way across the room. "We'll call him Sam," Ivy said. Road sneezed. "Bless you," Ivy said. Road said, "I'm allergic to cats." Ivy shook her head. "That's not so. It's all psychological. You're not really allergic to anything." Rhodes didn't think that was true, but he didn't argue. Instead, he changed the subject, which he'd often found was the safest course of action. "You can't just give the cat a name. You're not even sure it's a he." "Sam," Ivy said, "for Sam Spade. It's a he, all right, except that he's been fixed." Rhodes figured she knew what she was talking about, but he had never liked the term fixed. Synonyms implied that a healthy male animal could be improved by castration. He wondered why it hadn't been called being broken or impaired. Rhodes said, "He's not our cat. That's why we can't name him. He's wearing a collar." Ivy bent down and picked up the cat. It continued to purr while she looked at the tag on the collar. There's no name and address on here," she said, "just a number." Rhodes said, "The vet can find its owner from the number. I'll check it out." And she said, "You won't have to do that. I happen to be familiar with this cat. That's how I know his name is Sam. You know who it belongs to?" "Cats don't belong to anyone but themselves. But this one lives with Helen Harris." And that's as far as I'm going to read for this. The story goes on to talk about Helen Harris and all the stuff that happens in the little town that they live in. But I will read you the information in the back of the book. Now, this is Murder Among the Owls, Bill Kreider. I got it from the library. They have a large print edition, so it makes it really easy to read. I like paper books. And here's what it says in the back. "When a black cat appears on Sheriff Dan Rhodes' doorstep, Rhodes is unsettled. It's bad enough he's allergic to cats, but then his inquiries about the cat lead to what appears to be an accidental death. Blackland County might seem to be a place of bucolic contentment, but life there has been more complicated than one might think. Before long, Rhodes finds himself dealing with a women's literary society, that's the owls, a red hat club, a metal detecting group, illegal gambling, and a chainsaw attack. Who knew a cat could be so much trouble?" Okay, and there you are. So this is Lois Richter. The program is That's Life. We are at KDRT LP here, 95.7 on the radio dial in Davis, California, or at kdrt.org on the computer dial, so you can listen to us streaming live anywhere in the world that you happen to be. Now I'm going to play for you a song from Jeff Peterson, one of my favorite artists. This is from his Slack Key Travels CD, and it is called Makawau Chimes. And here we go. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. This is Lois Richter of the program's That's Life. You're listening to KDRT-LP here in Davis, California. It got hot today, but you got a cool radio station to listen to. I hope you'll join us frequently. And here we go.
Remember us who love you well. We know all the gifts you bring into the world each day. So thank you for your loving hands, your loving